This Shabbos will be, Ezras Hashem, be Shabbos Rosh Chodesh Menachem Av. If Mashiach doesn't come by that time, it will be the beginning of the 9 days. And if he doesn't come by Tisha B'Av, a week from the Sunday after Rosh Chodesh Av, the following week will be Tisha B'Av. And therefore we're having this special shiur as a preparation for the 9 days and Tisha B'Av. The OU has a series of shiurim to have introspection about what our obligation is during this period, this sad period of the year. And I believe that we need to focus during this period of the year on Bein Adam L'Chaveroi, on interpersonal relationships. The Gemara tells us that the second Beis HaMikdash was destroyed because of Sinas Chinam, that the Jews, for no reason at all, hated another Jew. And we know, the Gemara tells us, Kol Dor Shalai Nivne Beis HaMikdash B'Yomav Kilu Nechrov B'Yomav. Every generation where Mashiach has not come and the third Beis HaMikdash has not been rebuilt, then it's as if the Beis HaMikdash was once again destroyed in that year. So if Mashiach doesn't come by this Tisha B'Av, it means once again we have not merited, we do not have the schus that Mashiach should come and rebuild the third Beis HaMikdash. The Chavetz Chaim tells us that the Aveira of Sinas Chinam that the Gemara tells us in Yuma Daf Testament Beis, that really refers to the Aveira of Lashon Hara, of speaking ill about someone else. Every year during the 9 days on Tisha B'Av, the Chafetz Chaim Heritage Foundation has all over the world. It's a tremendous Kiddush Hashem, hundreds of places around the entire globe where they have a special set of shiurim by prominent speakers on items related to Lashon Hara. I believe this year's theme is about jealousy, that when people have jealousy, kinah, for someone else, that leads them to Sinas Chinam, it leads them to Lashon Hara. We find, the Gemara tells us in Masechet Gittin, that Al Kamtzu Bar Kamtzu Chorva Yerushalayim, that there were two people that had similar names. One was Kamtzu and one was Bar Kamtzu. One was a friend of the person who was making the wedding, and the other was an enemy of the person who was making the wedding. And the shliach, the messenger who was sent by the host to invite his friend, he went to the wrong person. He invited the enemy, and the enemy came, and the host threw him out. And he pleaded with him, don't embarrass me, let me stay. He didn't listen, he threw him out. And eventually he went to the authorities and he said, the Jewish people are revolting against you. And from that came out Churban Yerushalayim. Again, what was the Aveira over here? It was Bein Adam L'Chaveroi. So we see constantly in Chazal that the focus of these days has to be on interpersonal relationships, on Bein Adam L'Chaveroi. And that's what I'd like to speak about during this special summer shiur that we're having. Some of the items I may have mentioned in other shiurim, there are definitely new aspects to this shiur. Let us begin with something I believe I've mentioned before, and that is the pshat of the Vilner Gaon on a pasuk in Parshas Mishpatim, Perek Chof Beis, pasuk Chaf Aleph. The pasuk says, "Kol almana v'yosim lo yisanin." You should not persecute a widow and an orphan. You're not supposed to persecute anyone, but a widow and an orphan are chosen by the Torah because they are the most defenseless people. They don't have a husband. There's no father to protect them. Says the pasuk, and we're going to learn the simple pshat first. The Vilner Gaon is going to tell us a new understanding of this pasuk. The pasuk in its simple form says the following: Im ane sano isoi, if you will persecute the orphan and the widow, ki im tsoik yitzek alai, if he will scream out to me, if the orphan will scream out to me, says Hashem, shomoya esh matzah kosoi, I will hear the call, the cry of this person who's being persecuted. And what will happen? V'chara api, I will get angry. V'harakti eschem echorav, I will kill you with the sword. I will allow the enemy of the Jewish people to kill the Jews with the sword. And what will be the result? V'hoyu nesheichem almono yisuvneichem yisoymim. And as we know, there's mida keneged mida. Hashem punishes as the aveira takes place. That's how the person is punished. You were metzair. You caused pain and anguish to the widow and the orphan. Your wives will become almonos, widows, and your children, unfortunately, will become yisomim. This is what it says in the pasuk. So the Vilna Goin asks that everything makes sense in these psukim except for one extra word. And we know the Torah never puts an extra word. It must have some meaning. What does the pasuk say? Im ane sano so. If you will persecute the yosim or the almana, ki im tzoik yitzek alai, the word ki is extra. It should have just said, if you will persecute him, im tzoik yitzek alai, if he will scream out to Hashem in his pain, Hashem help me, I will listen and I will punish mida keneged mida. What is the extra word, ki im? So the Vilna Goin says that it has to do with a story that happened in Tanakh. We know that there was Chana and Penina. Chana was the mother of Shmuel Hanavi, and they were both married to Penina. And in fact, there it says in the pasuk that they were tsaros. In those days, when a husband was allowed to marry more than one wife, the wives were called a tsara. Each one was a tsara for the other one. They all were jealous about the husband's attention, and they were called a tsara. And now listen how Penina acted towards her tsara Chana. We're taking this from a Rashi, which is on a pasuk in Shmuel Aleph, Perek Beis, pasuk Hey. This is in the middle of Tfilas Chana, where Chana says, "Ad Akora Yolda Shiva v'Rabbis Bonim Umlola." The Akora, the woman who was not able to have any children, that was Chana. She gave birth to seven. And the one who had many children, this is Penina, she had actually 10 children. And what happened in Lola, they were all destroyed. She was left with nothing. Explains Rashi, and I quote, Uba'oicha akori aleda shiva bonim, rabbis bonim umlola v'kaveres boneho. While the woman, the barren woman, Chana, was giving birth to seven children, the Penina, who had many children, for some reason, we'll see, it's a punishment to her, she lost all her children and she buried them. Chana yolda shiva, Chana had seven children, shenemar. Ki poket Hashem es Chana, Hashem remembered Chana. Vatar vateled, she became pregnant, she gave birth to how many children? So now we have a little difficulty, because actually the pasuk says that she did not give birth to seven children. She only gave birth to five children. Shlosha bonim u'shtei bonis, three sons and two daughters. U'kishechana yoledes echa pnina kaver shnayim. When Chana would give birth to one child, as a punishment to Penina, we'll soon see what Penina did wrong, she would bury two. V'asora bonim hayolo. How many children did Penina have? 10. How do I know that Penina had 10? Shenemar. When Chana complained to her husband, Elkanah, that I don't have any children, so Elkanah said to her, what are you so upset about? You don't have children. Haloi anoichi toiv l'cha me'asor rabbanim. I'm better. He showed more affection to Chana than to Penina. He was closer with Chana than to Penina. So I am more better to you than 10 children. Why did he choose the number 10? Because he meant to say that Penina, your tzara, has 10 children. But since you have my affection more than she does, I should be worth more to you than 10 children. So we see that Penina had 10 children. Shela Penina, I'm worth more than the 10 children that Penina has. Now, what happened? Kishayolda Chan Arbo, so every time Chana gave birth to one child, Penina lost two children. Now, we still have a problem. It says, she had seven children in the pasuk. The other pasuk said she only had five. We're going to answer that question in one moment. What happened was, when Chana gave birth to the first child, Penina lost two children. When Chana gave birth to the second child, Penina had lost four. When Chana gave birth to fourth child, Penina lost eight children. Gishyal dechan arba kavra p'nina shmoina. Ugishinis abra v'yal devalat chamishi, as she was going to give birth to the fifth child. So what does Pnina know is going to happen? She is going to lose her last two children. Nishtatcha Pnina l'raglea. Pnina fell down to her feet. Ubiksha rachamim. She pleaded for mercy from Chana. And Chana must have davened extra to Hashem. Don't take away Pnina's last two children. V'choyu. And those two lived. V'nikru al shema. They were called on the name of Chana. So biologically, how many children did Chana have? She only had five. But since she saved Pnina's last two children, it's considered as if Chana had seven, and it's not called Pnina's children anymore, because without Chana, they would never have lived. So therefore, Rabba Sponim, the one who had 10 children, Pnina, Umlola, she lost everything. Even the last two children are not considered her children, they're considered Chana's children. That's how Rashi from the Chazal explains this pasuk. Now, what did Pnina do so terrible that she should lose eight, and actually the way we explained it, 10 children? So the answer is that she used to provoke her tzara, Chana. For example, the Chazal say that it came time in the morning for the boys, for Pnina's children to go to yeshiva. So Pnina would say to Chana, oh, it's cold outside. They didn't go with a bus to the cheder. They went with a camel, whatever it was. The camel is coming to take them to the cheder. Quick, let's get the coats, put on your children, and it's cold outside. Oh, I forgot, you don't have children. So she would say such things on purpose to provoke Chana, and Chana felt terrible, and as a result, she davened harder and harder to Hashem that she should also have children, says the Gemara. So because Pnina did this, she lost her 10 children. The Gemara says, however, that Pnina l'shem shamayim nischavna. Pnina did not, even though this was a tzara, so you would think there was animosity between Pnina and Chana, and Pnina would say, oh, I have children, I'm very happy, Chana doesn't have, too bad, and that's it. No. Pnina wanted that Chana should have children. She, in other words, she didn't act to Chana like a regular tzara, like a troublemaker. No. She acted as if she's trying to provoke Chana. But really in her heart, the Chazal say, Pnina meant for the sake of heaven. She wanted, what was her motivation? That Chana should have feel bad and daven harder and harder to Hashem until finally Hashem would listen and give her the children, which happened. Hashem, the pasuk says that he pokad Hashem is Chana. Finally Hashem remembered Chana and gave her the seven children. And yet she gets this terrible oinish, says the Vilner Gaon. Now we understand the pshat in this pasuk in Mishpat, and we said there was an extra word ki, says the Vilna Gaon. There's no extra word. Now we have to learn the pasuk differently. Kol amon v'yasim loisanon. Every defenseless person you should not persecute. Im ane san oisoi. If you will persecute that person, why will you persecute the person? Ki im soi gitzek elai. Not like we learned before. If that person will call out to me. What's the word ki, we asked. Now it has a new meaning. What is the motivation of Pnina that she persecuted Chana? Ki im, only for one reason. You know what Pnina's one and only reason was? Because tzoik yitzik alai. I want Chana to call out Hashem. That's what the word ki im means. Only because of this reason. That's why you put in the word ki. This is my only motivation, that what? That I want Chana to scream to Hashem. So you know, but you caused her pain. Shamoya eshmatza kosei. I will listen to her pain, and I will punish you mita keneged mita. So we learn, Rav Chaim Shmulevitz, Rashiv of Mir Yeshiva, learned from this a tremendous lesson. We have to understand, why in fact was Pnina punished such a terrible punishment? To lose her 10 children. She meant it l'shem shemayim. She wanted to help Chana. She treated her unbelievably. Usually at tzara, you don't care about the tzara. You antagonize the tzara to hurt her. Here, she didn't do it to hurt her. She did it that she should get children. Why did she get punished? So Reb Chaim Shmulevitz says, from here we learn a tremendous thing. that Bein Adam L'Chaveroi, according to the Hashkaf of the Torah, is not a punishment if you start up with somebody else. It's a metzius, says Reb Chaim Shulevich. It's something that happens. A person puts their finger in fire, and the fire burns a person's finger. They did it by accident. They didn't realize when they stuck their hand out that this finger is going to be touching a fire. Well, can they say to the fire, don't punish me, I did it only by accident? I did it l'shem shemayim? No, fire burns. It doesn't matter what you had in your mind, fire is going to burn. Says Reb Chaim Shmulevitch, the Torah's attitude of Bein Adam L'Chaveroi interpersonal relationships is that if you're not careful and you antagonize somebody else, even with the best intention, or you did it accidentally, you didn't really mean to do it, it just slipped out and you meant something else and they took it the wrong way, whatever it is, but it hurt them, Bein Adam L'Chaveroi is a fire burns. Not as a punishment. It's the essence of fire that fire burns. That's how Bein Adam L'Chaveroi works. And that's the reason, although Penina had the best of intentions, but bottom line, did she hurt Chana? Yes. She hurt Chana, that's a fire. Fire causes punishment. And Reb Chaim Shmulevich brought a proof to this from a Gemara in Masechet Ksubos, Samach Beis Amud Beis. The Gemara says, Ki ha de Rav Rechimi. There's a story with a great Talmud Chacham, a great tzaddik. His name was Rav Rechimi. Havishchiach kamei de Rava b'mechuzah. He used to learn in the yeshiva of Rava in Mechuzah. Havirogel, he was used. Havasil abesei kol male yoyma de Kippuri. In those days, they used to let their husbands go to learn, not just for a few hours at night, but they used to let them go, like we know Rabbi Akiva's wife, Chana, she let him go for 12 years, and then she let him for another 12 years. 24 years altogether away from home. And from that, he became the great Rabbi Akiva. They used to, 6 months away, a year. In the case of Rav Rechumi, this was the tremendous Mesiras Nefesh of the wives. They let their husbands leave to become great Talmidei Chachamim. Their deal, Rav Rechumi, with his wife was, he would come home once a year. When? Erev Yom Kippur. Havi asa lebeisei kol mali yom de Kippur. Yom echad, one time, mishkach de shmaitza, he got involved in learning. Havi masachyed and devisa, and his wife is standing by the door, she sees the sun is about to set, the sun is going down, 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 Erev Yom Kippur, and she's looking down the road, and what is she saying? Hashtasi. Hashtasi, my husband, every Erev Yom Kippur, he comes home. So he's late today, but he must be coming any minute. He's coming, he's coming. And then she sees the sun set. Lo yasa. He didn't come. He checked his sundial, what time it was, when he was in the middle of learning, and he saw he's not going to make it home. He stayed with Rava in the city of Mechuzah. Cholish data. So it says that she felt bad. The one time a year when she sees her husband, he didn't come. She's waiting a whole year to see him. Achis de Mosameino, a tear went down from her eye. Havi Yosef be'igra, so miles away in Mechuzah, he, Rav Rechumi, is sitting in his balcony. I was just thinking as I'm saying it now that the word Rechumi, a person's name, Rechumi has Rachmanis. So we could imagine that Rav Rechumi was a person, he had Rachmanis on his wife. He didn't do it intentionally. It was an accident. He got involved in his learning. And he suddenly realized, I'm not going to make it home in time to see my wife.
No phones, no
emails, nothing. Havi Yosef b'igra, he, Rav Rechumi, was sitting on a balcony. Ifchas igra, when that tear went down her cheek, the balcony collapsed. Mituse from under him, v'nach nafshe, and he died. Ask Reb Chaim Shmulevich, who are we punishing here? If Bein Adam L'Chaveroi is a punishment, so what does she deserve to get punished? Who's suffering by this? The wife. She's not going to see her husband this Erev Yom Kippur, and she's not going to see her husband every Erev Yom Kippur for the rest of her life. So what's going on here? Why is she being punished in such a way? The answer is that when you start up with Bein Adam L'Chaveroi, it's a fire. And a fire burns. A fire doesn't, we think in our minds that everything is if you do something wrong, you get punished. when you deal with Bein Adam L'Chaverah, just like we saw by Pnina, it doesn't matter what your motivation is, even the best motivation. You're playing with fire. Fire burns. This Rav Rechumi was playing with fire. He caused sorrow. He caused anguish to his wife. She cried one tear. That fire burns. Whatever happens afterwards, the fire is going to burn. It's not, it doesn't, we cannot approach it in a logical manner of, I did something wrong, I get a punishment. This is what the Vilna Gaon says, and this is what Reb Chaim Shmulevitch bases on the words of the Vilna Gaon. Now, I was thinking of this when I was trying to think what a world we live in. We see the Torah is so careful on Bein Adam L'Chaveroi that it defies the logic, how careful the Torah is to hurt, even if you have the best intention, if you're hurting someone else. We live in a world where our worst enemy of the Jewish people is 180 degrees, the opposite, is the most barbaric. You can have two human beings, and we'll soon see that the Torah says that one of them looks like a human being, is in the form of a human being. But you can have two people looking like human beings, and one has to be so sensitive, according to what we just explained from the Torah, as far as Ben Adam L'Chaveroi, and our enemies are the opposite totally. And I was thinking of this. Someone sent me an email there's a woman, she was a Christian Lebanese woman. And she spoke at a Heritage Foundation, an unbelievable speech, an hour's speech. Her name is Bridget Gabriel. She was a news anchor for a Middle East news station that went around the whole Middle East, in Cyprus and Israel and Jordan, and you could see her giving the news. And she started a foundation about the truth. I think it's called the Truth Foundation. And she says, as a young child growing up in South Lebanon, she grew up that there were two Satans. One is the Arabs, and one is the Jew. And she told over how, as a young child, the Arabs began to multiply in Lebanon. They took over the country, and they would stop people on the road. They would look at your passport. The passport said you're either a Jew, an Arab, or a Christian. If you were an Arab, you went further, you lived. And if you were a Jew or a Christian, they killed you. So these people, there was like a civil war in Lebanon, and they were in a bomb shelter. They existed on grass. Terrible conditions. And one day during the shelling, her mother got hit unconscious, and she had to be taken to an ambulance. So she accompanied her mother, and they figured which way to go. To the Arabs is death for sure. They'll take a chance at the other Satan, the Jews. They'll go to Tzfas, where the hospital was. So an acquaintance drove them in an ambulance to the Israeli border, and from there, she took her mother into an Israeli ambulance to the city of Tzfas. The father gave her $60. She had never touched money before in her life. She grew up for years and years in a battle. She didn't do shopping. She went out at night to get some grass to exist. That was her life. So he gave her the $60. You're going on a trip. You'll need money. She comes to the border. So the acquaintance asks her, he wants to get paid for the 15, 20-minute trip to the border. She had $60. He said, give me $30. She goes in the Israeli ambulance, and it took an hour to get to Tzfas. So she's thinking to herself, if this 15, 20 minutes took $30 out of pay, I only have $30 left. What am I going to pay for an hour's drive? They arrived at the hospital. She takes out the $30 to pay him. The driver, the Israeli driver, looks at her and says, what is this? She says, I want to pay you. She says, this is an ambulance. You don't have to pay to. We're taking you to the hospital. So she realized then this was her first encounter to see the difference between the Arab culture and the Israeli culture, the Jewish culture. Here are people that have mercy, and here her acquaintance that knew her family, he robbed her. He took the $30, which he shouldn't have taken from her. In the hospital, it was unbelievable to her. She sees that her mother, who had serious wounds, was treated before Israeli soldiers. This is an Arab. This is a Christian Muslim. A Christian Lebanese, not a Jew. And her mother is treated first. She couldn't believe it. In her culture, that certainly would never happen. And then she saw that Israelis were taking care of the wounds of Arabs, nursing them back to health. They could have died. And as the Israeli would leave the room, the Arab lady would say after him, "I wish you would drop dead." And she couldn't believe it. This person is saving your life, and this is your Hakoras HaTov, this is your appreciation. And these were episodes, similar episodes, that showed her for the first time in her life the difference between the two cultures. And she realized that the Jewish culture are, as we know, we have three midos. How do you know a person's a Jew? You have to see, are they Rachmanim, Baishanim, and Goyim Lechasarim? Do they have mercy? Are they bashful? And do they do kindness one to another? And she said, the atrocities, the barbaric atrocities that the Muslims did, they had, I can't say all of them, but one of them, a mother, they forced a mother to behead her own child. I mean, it's barbaric. Now, what does the Torah say about our enemy, which in the time of Mashiach, Chazal tell us, this is going to be the enemy right before Mashiach comes. As we all feel, we're living in the footsteps, are getting much closer of Mashiach. Any day, if not today, he is coming. So Chazal tells you, Yishmael is going to be the one. What does the Torah speak about Yishmael? The Torah calls him Para Adam. He is like a person who's like a wild animal. So do we ask the question? The Mephoreshim say we have in Hebrew the adjective follows the noun. In English, the adjective comes before the noun, a red cow. But in Hebrew, it's Para Adumo, cow that is red. The adjective goes after the noun. So here you're speaking about a person. That's like a wild animal, Yishmael. It should be Adam Para, an animal, a person that's wild. Here we say Para Adam. So the Mephoreshim answer, no, it's correct. This person is Para. The noun is Para means that the person is a wild animal. Adam is the adjective. The para, it looks like he's in the form of a person. But the person is the adjective of the wild animal. Because otherwise, if the wild animal was not the noun, how could we understand the barbaric? As here we're speaking how the Torah looks, that if you meant l'shem shemayim like Pnina, that's no, you're playing with fire. That's how sensitive the Torah is to cause another person atzara, even if it's for the best of intentions. And here, the same a person, and we said it's not a person, it looks like a person. The person is like a wild animal to do the most barbaric, unspeakable things that are possible. It struck me the difference, as it says, "Mi rochlik mi mizrach ad marav," from east to west, the difference that we call Yisrael have. And I just want to bring out in this shir, which we're speaking about the sensitivity of Bein Adam L'Chaveroi, how great our Torah Kadosh is. We're going to speak one fantastic idea of Rav Chaim Shmulevitch again, the great Mirror Rosh Yeshiva, and we're going to speak about Rav Shloime Freifeld's itself. There's a book that came out from Art Scroll. It's called Rav Shloime, and I would recommend that everybody reads this book. It's a book of stories about this great Rosh Yeshiva, this great tzaddik, Rav Shloime Freifeld's itself. And we're going to show different stories of how sensitive he was, Bein Adam L'Chaveroi, and we should all learn ourselves as we're approaching the 9 days and we're trying to improve ourselves in our relationships, Bein Adam L'Chaveroi. So first, they found Rav Chaim Shmulevitch one day, Erev Yom Kippur, so people go. People go to Meron, to Rav Shimon Ben Yochai's cave, they go to Kever Rochel, they go to the Kosel. Rav Chaim Shmulevitch is going to the Kever of Avshalom. Avshalom's Kever is right behind the Old City. by Har HaZeisim, outside of the walls of Yerushalayim. So they asked the Reb Chaim Shlomovitz, why are you going to the Kever of Avshalom? Avshalom rebelled against his father David. What's that a place to go to Erev Yom Kippur? So Reb Chaim Shlomovitz said, and we have it in his Sefer, Sichas Musar of Reb Chaim Shlomovitz. Reb Chaim Shlomovitz says, on Yom Kippur we say to Hashem, Rachameinu, Hashem, you should have mercy on us, Kirachem of Albanot, like a father has mercy on his son. And he says, what does it mean like a father has mercy on his son? You know what it means. You know who is the example of that? David was the father, and Avshalom was the son. And what do we find? We find in a Gemara that was recently learned in the Daf Hayomi, Sota Daf Yud Amid Beis. The Gemara tells us that when David HaMelech found out that his son Avshalom, who had rebelled against him, who wanted to take over the malucha, the kingship from his father, who wanted to perhaps kill his father, he took the wives of his father. He was a morid b'malchus, he deserved death. But when he actually, we all know his long hair got stuck in the tree, and he was killed. So what happened, what was David's reaction? Vayirgas HaMelech, he trembled when he heard the news that his son got killed. Vayal Alias Hashar, Vayev, he went up to the upper chamber on top of the gate of the, and he started to cry. Vekoy Omar Belachtoy, and this is what David said as he was walking. Bini Avshalom, my son Avshalom. One time he said the word Bini. Bini, Bini Avshalom. Three times he said the words, my son. I wish that I would have died instead of you. Avshalom b'ni, b'ni. Five times he said the word b'ni. V'amelech lot espanav, he wrapped himself around with a covering. V'yizek ha-melech kol gadol, and he cried out a great cry. B'ni Avshalom, six times b'ni. Avshalom b'ni, b'ni. My son Avshalom, eight times the word b'ni. Ask the Gemara, these eight times b'ni, why? Why did David say eight times b'ni? So the Gemara says because Avshalom, because of the act that he did against his father, was destined to be at the bottom of the seven levels of Gehenna. And each time David said, my son, my son, my son, he lifted his son up from one level of Gehenna, up higher, higher, until he was on the top level of Gehenna. What was the eighth time that he said? There's only seven levels in Gehenna. The eighth time the Gemara says, according to one pshat, the Asiya la'alma da'asi, he brought him to Olam Haba. He got him totally out of Gehenna, and he brought him into Gan Eden. Says Reb Chaim Shmulevich, that what do we do a whole year? We do things wrong. We do things that we know Hashem doesn't like, and yet we do it. So what are we? We're rebelling against our father also. So I go to the kever of Avshalom, Erev Yom Kippur. Why? Because I want to tell Hashem, Rachameinu, you're our father. You should have mercy on us when we rebel. Kirachem av al b'noi, like a father has mercy on his son. Which is the example of that? That's David and Avshalom. That's why I'm going to kever Avshalom. To remind you, Hashem, it's unbelievable. Here was a son who wanted to kill and destroy his father, take away the melucha. A total rebellious son. And we would think that the father, a normal person, would say, let him rot in hell, let him rot in Gehenna. But no, the mercy of a father, a Jewish father, a father like David HaMelech. David HaMelech says, I wish I would have died instead of you. The mercy of David HaMelech on his son was to lift him out seven times b'ni, and finally eight times b'ni to bring him into Gan Eden. That's the mercy of a Jewish father is such an unbelievable thing, and that's what Reb Chaim Shmulevitz wanted to evoke, the mercy of Hashem, who is our father, against us, because we're also rebellious children. But it gives you an example of what it means that we Jewish people are rachmanim, that we have mercy. And finally, we want to end with a few stories of Reb Shloimeh Freifeld, Zecher Tzadik Livracha. Reb Shloimeh Freifeld, he says a thought as follows. We know we have to act like Hashem. Mahu afata. Mahu, just like Hashem is Mevaker Cholam, we find Hashem was Mevaker Chola. He, when Avram was sick, he went to visit him. Like Hashem is Mevaker Chola, the same thing, you should be Mevaker Chola. Hashem is Menachem and Ovel, you should be Menachem and Ovel. But Rabbi Shlomo Freifeld said, maybe it's his own thought, it doesn't say it in the Gemara. Hashem does something else. You know what? Hashem is a Chanun and a Rachum. You should be, the Gemara says. But he does something else. Hashem, we say in davening, Ata Mechaya Eskulam. You give life to all of us, to the entire world. What's the life-sustaining force in the world? It's HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You give life to every creature in the world. So we have to act like Hashem and give life to people. There are people that walk around that are half dead, meaning emotionally, psychologically. They have all kinds of misfortunes and they're knocked down. Your obligation is to be mechayed that person. And what does it take? You give somebody a compliment. There's no one in the world, the greatest person, when you give them a compliment, you'll see their face begins to smile. It's the natural reaction. That moment, you were mechayed that person. You gave life to that person. Reb Shlomo Freifeld, unfortunately, at the end of his life, had tremendous difficulty health-wise. He was in tremendous pain, yisurim. So a rav came in and wants to see Reb Shlomo Freifeld. So the family said shortly before he passed away, they said he has no strength, he's in pain. He says, no, I have to go in. When I go in and I tell him one of my Dvar Torahs, I bring life to him. So they couldn't get rid of him. They let him in. After a half hour, 45 minutes, he comes out and he says, I did it again. And when he left, the family said, you know what the truth was? The truth was that as sick as Reb Shlomo Freifeld was, he was giving life to the Rav. The Rav needed an audience who to speak to. And he knew that whenever he came, Shlomo Freifeld said, wow, terrific what you're saying. He gave him life. So as sick as Shlomo Freifeld was, he still forced himself to listen for a half hour, 45 minutes, to give chiyus ata mechaya eskulam. There's a story of a boy brought in the book that no yeshiva wanted to teach him. He couldn't learn. And he went, and Reb Shlomo Freifeld said, sit down, let's see what we could do. And he began to teach him how to read. And he would read one line, and he would review it, and go over it and over it, as long as it took, until he knew that line perfect. Then he would go to the second line, and patiently review it, till he knew it perfectly. Finally, after months and months and months, he knew Gemara, Masechta Chulin, seventh blot. And he knew it by heart. And once there was a gathering at the house of Rav Freifeld, and this boy was there, and there were a bunch of Rabbonim sitting around the table, and they were speaking about the Talmidim of their yeshiva, what they're able to know and do. And this boy was there, Rav Freifeld said, oh, you want to see what a Talmud in my yeshiva could do? He says, Yankel, begin Masechta Chulin. And the boy stood up, and he rattled off word for word by heart the first seven Dafim in Masechta Chulin. Now, Rav Freifeld knew that he only knew seven. The eighth one, that's it. He didn't know. When he came to the end of the seventh daf, so Rav Freifeld said, Genuk, it's enough already. I mean, how long can we listen? You know, as if he could go on and on. So the boy sat down. The boy later said that in those 15 minutes that it took him to say it, he erased 15 years that he had been downtrodden, dejected, rejected, that he felt like a nobody, he knew nothing, he'll never succeed in life. In those 15 minutes, what did Rav Freifeld do? He was mechaya. He gave him life that would sustain him for the rest of his life. A man once came to the yeshiva to do a job in the yeshiva, and he brought his little boy with, who wasn't so smart. And Rav Freifeld asked, what yeshiva to go to? What are you learning? And after a few moments, the father says, oh, you should see my oldest son. He's a genius. He's this. And he carried on for 10 minutes about how great his oldest son is. When he left, Rav Freifeld told his people, I don't want this person to do the work in the yeshiva. He's not a sensitive person. He killed his youngest son. This is how sensitive Rav Freifeld was. His youngest son is here, and what in front of the youngest son, you don't compliment the youngest son. You go and start raving about the genius that you're old. How does the youngest son feel? The youngest son knows that he's not as smart as the older one. You just knock down the youngest. That's how sensitive Rabbi Shlomo Freifeld was. One last story is a few boys hurt the feelings of another boy in the yeshiva. Rav Shlomo Freifeld went with the entire yeshiva to this boy's home, and they said, we're coming here today to ask you mechila, to ask you to forgive this. A mistake was made. He came with the entire yeshiva. That's how sensitive Rav Shlomo Freifeld was about Ben Om L'Chaveray, and we should learn from it. I recommend everybody to read the book. Rav Shlomo just came out, and this is an example by Klal Yisrael, as opposed to Para Adam, the sensitive. We've given examples of Torah Hashkafa, how sensitive we have to be Ben Om L'Chaveray, and how properly we have to treat every person that we come in contact with. And if we will do that, we will be zoicha that this Tisha B'Av, Mashiach will come, and the third base of Migdash will be rebuilt. Amen.